Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Pony Development Sync for April 4th, 2023. I'm your host, Joe McElvain. If those others on the call would like to state their names now so that people can associate to a name to the voice, those who are listening along to the recording later, now is a good time for that.
Hi, my name is Sean Allen.
Hi, I'm Gord Tischer.
Adrian Boyko.
Brett Davis.
All right. So let's take a look at our auto-generated agenda for this week. We are going to begin in the Pony C repo with pull requests. We have a pull request 4341 entitled Fix Optimization Interaction Bug. This is from Sean. It has the discuss during sync label.
Yes, there is no fix in it yet, but I would like to discuss the fix with you. Because I know all the things that go into it. This is just I opened it with a verification that that the regression would fail on all of our CI platforms, and it does.
Okay,
so that's great. So this bug, which is 4340, right? I updated the description of 4340 some because originally it was thought to be ARM specific, but it's actually an optimization bug. So a combination of the inliner, the heap to stack pass, and the dead code the dead store elimination, which is one of the default things that we get as part of a big giant pass that we normally do, where we just take all of the defaults. You put those three things together with the code in 4340. And you end up with incorrect results because it is dead code eliminating. It's dead store eliminating something which it should not be doing. Now, interestingly, I discovered that if we change the heap to stack from a peephole optimization to a late scaler optimization, which means it would run after the dead store, then the problem goes away. However, I don't know if that's what we would want to do for a fix or not. I have not had a chance to look into exactly what the code looks like with the dead store off, with the heap to stack running before it to see what is getting generated, which causes the dead store to remove code, which it should not be removing. That's my status update for you on this, Joe, because I knew you and I were looking at it together last Friday.
Yeah. I mean, I would definitely suspect that the dead store optimization is probably not the one at fault.
I'm not sure that there is a fault here, but we would have to look at it closer.
Yeah. So basically, to try to summarize what you haven't actually looked at the IR yet for the cases where it's misbehaving. You haven't looked at the IR like in between the optimization passes, right?
The way to do that would be is to have a version of the compiler really, which does not do the dead store, right? Because they're all run in a single portion of the pass, which is out of our control.
You wouldn't need to disable the dead store. You could put a breakpoint inside the heap to stack optimizer, I think, to see it prior to the dead store elimination.
So there are a number, there are other paths, there are other things in between. So it's possible we could have a further interaction, which causes it. I don't know if you've, let me get the code and which is that one? Because it's in the, hold on, let me help you. It's the stuff that gets set up by Populate Module Pass Manager, right? Which is where then the Pony specific stuff gets run as well, right? For the various ones, and based on whether they're people, scale or optimize related, et cetera, they get run at different parts of the very large number of other optimizations, which are part of the Populate Module Pass. So I know that it is an interaction of, if you remove any of dead store, heap to stack, and the inliner, the problem does not happen. But I do not know that it's that there aren't other potential things which are happening in between for where if heap to stack is a peephole, in between that and the dead store, which might also be part of the interaction.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. So, I mean, what I would expect is that, like, I mean, taking the inliner out inhibits a lot of optimizations from happening because things that can't be inlined can't be effectively optimized in that local scope.
Yeah. And what you and I were seeing was definitely, you know, where it was getting inlined right into the the actual assertion call. Remember, that's the last thing you saw.
Yeah, it was like getting all the way through like constant folding. To just say the answer is 3, even though we didn't do any of the work, right? Or the answer is 2, even though we didn't do any of the work.
Which is cool.
I mean, that level of optimization is cool when it's correct.
My initial thought was that it was the constant folding that was the problem, but you know that turned out not to be the case, and I spent another 2 hours tracking down with what the final element in it was.
So I mean, my hypothesis is that the LLVM optimizations are working correctly. The heap to stack optimizer optimization pass, which is the only pass that you mentioned that we like authored, like we being the Pony developer community, the person who authored it's no longer here. I recently found bugs from not considering edge cases in other work done by that developer in another optimization pass that I ended up removing in the LLVM 15 branch. So just as context, right? That's what leads me to the initial hypothesis that the issue is that the heap to stack pass is doing something wrong that leads the, you know, inlining and dead code elimination, you know, constant folding, all to say, oh, well, I can get rid of this. I can get rid of this because all these invariants hold. But the setup for that is kind of wrong, right? So I think what I would troubleshoot next, go ahead.
I was going to say, I did go through, I went through that and there's not a clear and obvious thing, right? But it's really need to look at the LLVM IR, see what's coming out of it before it gets to the,
That. Yeah, I mean, yeah, that's what I was going to say is like, what I would do next probably is put a breakpoint at the start and end of, like put a conditional breakpoint in LLDB at the start and end of the heap to stack pass for the particular function, although it can be difficult sometimes to choose which function because there's inlining involved. And so you have to like, I guess what I've done in the past is when I was dealing with issues with the other pass that I had to remove because it didn't think through all the edge cases, I put a breakpoint on cases where it made the optimization. So like within the logic, it says, okay, have I changed anything? If yes, then return true, I've changed something. Or if no, I turn false, I haven't changed anything. And so I put a breakpoint, like basically if the change had been made, then I wanted to see the before and after. To me, that was the most illuminating thing in the case of the other ones. I could say, all right, I'm looking at this LLVM IR for the function before it made the change, and I'm looking for this after the function after it made the change, and is that actually a valid optimization, and why or why not? Like that would be, I guess, the next step. When I was doing that, I did have LLVM debug compiled, which I don't have it anymore. I got rid of it off my machine because it's just a lot of disk space that I don't have right now. That made it easier with LLVM debug. The other thing I'll say about optimization pass order is I would expect the order of optimization passes to be different after the LLVM 15 pull request gets merged in, because it's using the new pass manager. The new pass manager orders the passes in a new way. And so you may see a different set of behavior for scalar versus, you know, people.
That is the thing. I can take that one where we have the regression that fails when the 15 goes in and see if it still fails.
So on that note, like, can we talk about the LLVM 15 PR then? And that would be 4327. I believe, let's see. This has an approval from Gordon yesterday.
I didn't merge it because I wanted to ask you if there was anything before it was merged that you had thought of that you want to do, or we could just go ahead and merge it.
No, I think we should merge it. I think it's good to go. It has the release notes. It has the changelog tag.
Okay.
Or label letters.
Let's see. We don't have a good commit comment for all of these, so hold on. Updates to LLVM 15, and in the process merge Alloc, merge Realloc. I can't remember what it's called. Is it merge Realloc pass?
The merge Realloc pass is the one that was eliminated.
Optimization pass, right? The optimization is not safe, so it had to be removed. Okay, there's all of your explanation for why. That looks good for a comment. All right, merged.
All righty. So, what is next on our agenda? I guess, do we want to continue discussing the optimization interaction bug? Perhaps come back to it later after we go to the other agenda items. Does that sound good?
That sounds good.
Okay. 4338 pull request. Don't use a new variable intermittently for the same pointer.
Yeah, this should have had the discussed during sync taken off. I did it. Dante and I went over a few things a couple weeks ago, but I forgot to take them off. Some of them where he was going to answer some questions on them. They were like, he opened like five, I merged like two of them, and there were like three or four. Okay. There's four. So he opened like six.
So I'm going to say I agree with, I'm just adding a comment to say I agree with Sean about that. Yeah, in this case, the refactor is a little bit worse than the, like, that. They're almost identical. I mean, they're identical in terms of the machine code that will get generated, but the refactor is a little bit worse, arguably. So, yes.
Yeah, you can have a look at the other four if you want. Real quick, I took the tags off.
Okay. So we have 4336. Declare pony int color as a type def, not a global. And I agree with your comment. I'm not sure what is meant by global here. It's certainly not a global variable as it's a type. And it is confined to one.c file. It's not in a header, like you said.
Yeah.
So I'm just going to give a thumbs up on your comment so that when you remove the label, you don't have to wait for me and my comment to come through before you can remove it. 4335, make hash maps fill ratio function consistent with other hash map functions by taking a name T, not a general hash map T. Let's see. I don't think so, Sean. When you say you don't think it's correct, to me it doesn't look like it matters. But to me, it looks like another thing that has no effect.
Well, and not only that, but if you look at line 215, like it's then it's casting the map to a hash map T,
right?
In it, so I'm not sure on this.
If you look at the definition on line 134, if you look at the definition, it's basically name T is a struct that contains a single hash map T. And so a pointer to name T should be equivalent to a pointer to hash map T. And I guess in this case, I would agree with the refactor from Dante. Because it makes it consistent with the other ones, although I think you could argue that the refactor should go in the other direction to avoid the cast and take the real hash map T. Well, no, I think probably name T is better, right? Because name T is whatever you've defined you want it to be. So yeah, I would agree with this refactor. I think it has no impact on the code and correctness or efficiency. It's just a consistency thing.
Right. If you want to word it, you can go ahead.
Okay. I just wanted to make sure I wasn't missing something from a correctness or consistency or like, yeah, correctness perspective. Okay. I will merge it then. And I'll leave a comment first. Okay, comment. Yeah, it doesn't need a change log entry. Merged. And let's take a look at pull request 4333. This is entitled add an actual member to stacks that matches lists and hash maps. And your question is what does this solve? What how does this help us? What problem does it solve? I agree. I don't know what problem it solves. Let me take a look down through let's just stack.h. Stack.h. This is, sorry, I'm in the wrong window locally. I'm just trying to see if there is a case where it's like casting in such a way that assumes that it has a member. Okay, so name T is defined as an empty struct. And inside the, I'm going to look in stack.c. Inside push and pop, it is accepting it as, okay, yeah, so it's casting to a stack, like the capital version of stack, which, yeah, I mean, yeah, I think I would agree with this refactor too, because I would say this makes the code less error prone, and more consistent with the other data structures, because in truth, like in reality, name T is not supposed to represent something that is empty, something that has no content. It's supposed to be an abstraction that sits in front of this typedef struct capitalized stack that is defined on line 10 of stack.h. So it's just it's like a named abstraction layer over that. And the other data structures have that where, okay, it's just the struct is a single member that contains the inner sort of data structure struct as its member. And you can cast from one to the other and they're kind of treated as equivalent, but with just an abstraction encapsulation layer on top, I guess.
I would say if you want to merge it, I'm okay with merging it so long as everything that you're explaining right now goes in the commit comment. Because if the commit comment is this matches lists and hash maps, one of commits originally in 4331, then this is going to make no sense at all to somebody in the future when they look at why did this change.
I agree. Yeah, the fact that I had to look at the code for a little bit before I understood why this was happening is not a good thing. Let's see. I'm going to try to think if I want to ask Dante to explain this or just have me explain it. And since I control the commit message when I squash and merge, if you give me a second, Sean, to write this commit message, I can merge it now.
Sounds good to me.
Okay. And so if you want to talk about something else or vamp for a little bit, I'll write that up real quick.
I can go back to my days when I was a music major.
Yeah,
I played jazz bass.
There you
go. Everybody, vamp now. All right. See, now everybody knows that I started off as a music major. Almost actually stayed in music major. Really glad I didn't. Somehow I don't think that would have worked out well financially.
If anyone else has things they want to bring up for special topics to discuss, now is a good time.
Yes.
Well,
I know we're about to lose red.
I have one dumb question. Is there a way to easily have a static table of, say, integers?
Yes. Oh, sorry. Sorry. I was thinking at the LLVM level.
At the pony level. I'm thinking of making an RFC to have like a data type called like static table or something, which is just a big array of floating point or integers. Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, part of this comes back to the dependent types work that Luke Cheeseman worked on for a while back and did not end up bringing back into Pony C mainline yet, because with that in place, we could have very general static sort of data attached to programs.
I would say that's never going to happen.
Yeah, I think realistically, at least not that particular fork, right?
Yes.
If someone else wanted to work on probably a new fork or some new version of that fork that they take it upon themselves to bring to fruition, bring back into mainline, that would be awesome. Yeah, I mean, it would be great to have a really general mechanism. That's just where my mind's at right now. It'd be great to have a really general mechanism rather than something specific to just one use case. But at the same time, in the absence of that, it seems kind of reasonable to have something if we can at least make it fit, you know, three or four different kinds of use cases.
Well, if there was an RFC that went up for that, I would expect before I would support the RFC to explain how this would coexist should we ever get like something like Luke's work, and what would be the path forward with that.
Sorry, something like what, Sean?
If we ever got anything like Luke's work.
And just for those listening along who may not be totally familiar with what Gordon's talking about with like a static table, like, so for example, we have strings in Pony today. When you have a string literal, it does not create a new, allocate a new string every time the code execution encounters that string literal. Instead, the string literal is lifted to a, the string literal is lifted into the program binary's memory, so static memory of the program at the LLVM layer. And so we have a string instance that's not Pony allocated, it's actually static memory within the program. That happens kind of automatically because we assume, hey, string literals don't change. And they don't need to change. And so they can be string val, and the string val can be static memory, not allocated every time you run into it. And so having something like that, but which was for perhaps other integer sequences, from the specific semantics of string, could be an interesting language addition. And so if anyone was confused about what was under discussion, I think that's a good summary of it. Gordon, you can correct me if I misrepresented anything.
Yeah, no, that's good. The use case I'm thinking of, there's a really old issue about trying to parse floating point numbers in Pony as opposed to calling C function. And the latest work in fast parsing of floating point numbers, they use a big giant table of powers of five. So that would be a nice thing to have.
Why do we need a special type for this?
Well, because when I like, if I try and I'd like a way to have a static table that I don't have to allocate it at runtime.
Why? So we don't have a special type for string literal to do that per se. It's just a string literal. How would this be different than say, why would that be different than a immutable array literal, for example, and then having that be an optimization?
Does that optimization currently exist?
No, but you're talking about a specific implementation. So I'm asking why that specific implementation is compared to a different specific implementation.
Oh, yeah, I'm not committed to any particular implementation. I'm just wondering about, yeah, how would you want to do that? But yeah, we could certainly make an optimization for array literals.
To me, that feels like more like an optimization than a type. Joe, do you have thoughts for leading a discussion of an RFC or not type thing? Because if it's not a new type and it's quote unquote just an optimization, I don't know that it would even need to go through an RFC as a requirement. We might want to do it for working through design and working out issues though.
The way I would think about it is, if we could have something like Luke Cheeseman's general dependent types with compile time constants, like that's obviously like the holy grail, what we'd want, right? That's a very big change, very general system, lots of things to sort through, lots of work to do, realistically not going to meet near-term needs. That's like my initial perspective on that. And then as a question of like new type versus existing type, I would agree with you, Sean, mostly that finding a way to make it so that arrays of numerics can be like an array literal surrounded by a recover val could be implicitly lifted up to a constant. And I think the main trepidation or hesitation I have about that is that it's sort of the same way I feel about things like tail call optimization, where people write a lot of programs, in languages that have tail call optimization as a feature, right? They write programs that depend on, hey, I know that this won't blow the stack because of tail call optimization. And similarly, Gordon's talking about implementations where you depend on as a feature, hey, I know this array is going to get lifted to be a table, and it's not going to be allocating a new array in my hot path every time, and that you would want some kind of assurance of that. And so I'm thinking about things like maybe an annotation could, I think we've talked about this in the past, but I don't know if we've implemented anything like this yet, but some kind of annotation that says, hey, I expect this to be static. And if you can't treat it as such, I want a compiler error rather than you to quietly make it allocate in my hot path.
That's an interesting thing. I think discussion of the design around it, even though I don't think anything we've talked about in relation to design with annotation or anything is something that under the rules for what requires an RFC. I think that there's enough here that either we do an RFC or it's just discussed in one of the ZooUp channels for it. But I think an RFC would be good because it gives people a chance to more easily asynchronously interact with the ideas.
Yeah.
So I think you should do an RFC, Gordon.
All right, I'll write something up.
Of course, in the end, I'd much rather just have some variation on the work that Luke did.
Yeah, I'll have to refresh my memory of that too.
There is the he did do a PonyVug presentation on PonyTop. So you could get a feel for what it was. I would advise not trying to figure out the implementation based on how he actually did it in his fork, because it was not done in a software engineer kind of way. It was done in a graduate student kind of way. And it will be very, very, very hard to see what the actual changes were versus the code as it existed years ago.
Yeah, academic code is a special beast.
Yeah, it's less the academic code and more the not taking a, I'm going to need to maintain this against a moving target so that it can be merged back in approach to how development was done.
And even though dependent types are interesting, we don't necessarily need to do that as part of this exercise.
Yeah, it's not. And dependent types are not even necessarily part, like they're not even a necessary part of compile time constants.
That's right. That's what I'm saying.
The compile time constants were a necessary part of the dependent typing, but not vice versa.
Right.
But what I'm saying is I would rather see even just the compile time constant stuff in an approach similar to how it was done for Luke's work than a specialization.
Yes.
That would be the ideal world for me.
Yeah,
I agree. Any other special topics? I got a little bit distracted by this conversation and I've not finished writing this commit message yet.
Shame on you.
My mistake for getting invested.
I know.
Just kind of a tangential question. Gordon, where is this parsing of floating points happening? This is inside Pony code that you want to write?
Yeah, right now there's a, I can't remember the file, but we're calling a C library function. And there's an old issue. Let me see if I can look it up. That says it would be nice to do this all in Pony. And I just happened to be looking at it on my vacation.
Couldn't parsing a floating point be part of this the standard library?
Yeah, it's all part of the standard library.
So then this is a question of whether or not we would use that new powers of five lookup table implementation to parse floating point inside Pony C. Or inside the Pony library.
The functionality already exists. It's in C. It would be moving it into Pony and using a change to the implementation while the actual interface, et cetera, stays the same. Correct. Yeah. Gordon?
Yeah. This is issue 1449.
Okay.
And somebody 6 years ago said they would take it on.
But, well, we should check and see how they're doing.
Yeah. But yeah, so we currently use stir to F from C, but like Rust in the past couple of years has used work by Daniel Lemire to do really, really fast parsing. I thought we could adapt that to Pony.
Yes. Those kinds of improvements are good. I'll throw out there on the opposite end of things on the floating point printing. I believe we currently delegate to the C standard library for that.
Oh, yes.
But there's the Ryu algorithm, which I went through a while ago, is a nice algorithm for speed while also being fairly maintainable. But it also uses these big lookup tables you're talking about. So that's like another related use case that also talks about improving or modernizing the internal infrastructure of floating points. With that in mind, I will read the commit message that I have just written. And Sean, you can tell me if this captures well enough. These data structures in the Pony runtime act as a macro named encapsulation layer over an internal struct. This approach lets you cast from the macro named struct pointer to or from the internal pointer, pointing the same memory address. Prior to this commit, the stack data structure were using an empty struct for the declaration of the macro name struct. This is a lie. It doesn't reflect the reality that the real content is non-empty, and it's inconsistent with how other data structures are implemented in the other headers. Overall, that's bad for maintainability and makes it easier to make a mistake if anyone ever tries to dereference the macro named pointer. Does that explanation make sense?
Yes, that sounds good. And that raises one question for me that's related to this in only the vaguest of ways that I've been meaning to ask you for a while, Joe.
Yes.
Which this will probably never happen, even if you say yes. But I wanted to at least get your take on it. So there's an awful lot of macro fun, which is at the core of the runtime and the compiler and everything, right? How would you feel if that was rewritten from C to C++ so that it could be some judicious use of C++ templates, which I think would be a much better thing than the C preprocessor macros.
And you're thinking specifically about the runtime data structures, or are you thinking more about the compile time, things like ASTs?
I was, in this particular case, I'm thinking about the compile time things. Not touching the ASTs, et cetera, or anything, but like list, stack, hash, et cetera.
Oh, okay. The data structures.
Yes. Okay,
sorry, and not the AST. Yeah, I think yes. The AST would be a bigger conversation. The basic data structures, I don't so much care.
Okay.
Yeah. So
if I ever go insane, I might do it. But I really doubt that would ever float up my list. But from time to time, I'm like, I mean, from time to time I look at it and be like, you know, this is a case where C++ is much better than C. Okay, there are a lot of cases if you use it judiciously, but still. Okay. All right.
Okay. I merged that pull request. I said during the sync call, I talked Sean to the benefits of this and wrote a commit message talking about the benefits.
Yeah.
And off we go to 4328, refactor pony type T for better struct packing. This is something that I, a pull request that I filed recently. This needs to be rebased now that LLVM 15 branch is merged, or sorry, it was squashed and merged rather than merged. So it needs to be rebased. And once that's done, there's still the question of whether this is desirable. It does better pack the struct from strictly a struct size perspective. But as I was discussing with Sean, I don't know if there was thinking or implications about cache lines that involved this.
I forgot to ask Sylvan that before he went off on his 3-week vacation. So I would say I'm not super worried about it. I don't remember whether I had a conversation with him about that or not, like beforehand. So I would say we could go ahead and do it. I'm okay with it.
Okay.
Well, by the way,
I'll rebase it then.
Yep. Cool. And by the way, 4340, yeah, it still has the same kaboom on LLVM 15.
Okay. And does it still have the same fix by changing
I don't know. Because that involves me building a new LLVM on my computer. So
yeah, takes longer.
Takes longer than the one in CI where it already has a fast version of LLVM 15 to run the test again.
And we didn't want to have to hear your fan during this whole call.
Oh, I will say one thing for this Dell XPS 15. The fan does not kick in when I'm building LLVM.
That is impressive. Yeah.
It did awful, awful things to my my ThinkPad. But yeah, in general, the Dells seem to be much better in terms of heat management than my ThinkPad was.
Very nice. I actually just replaced my fan because I had some kind of, like, it was probably bent ever so slightly in some way. It was very obnoxiously loud, and the new fan is very quiet. So I'm happy about that.
This XPS is the best laptop I've ever had in terms of handling heat.
Okay, so looking now at issue 4339, Horoshiro, which I don't know why I tried to print. Whenever I see that, I think of it as like a Russian word, because like Horosho in Russian is means good, but it's actually referring to exclusive ore. It's like exclusive ore, and then I forget what that stands for, and then it's like shift right. Yeah, so it's and the issue ticket's talking about that. So it says XOR shift and its successor, Horoshiro, use different naming schemes. The latter is XOR rotate, shift, rotate, or like capital X, capital R, capital S, capital R, or preferably just capital X with pony naming. The source linked in the doc uses no capitalization. I'm not sure how to do a case-sensitive search, but none of the sources I found use the standard libraries. On the other hand, it's a very tiny itch and probably some breaking change for users of the two classes. So this person, is saying basically it's the capital O that we currently have in the middle of the name is awkward in that it doesn't completely conform to capitalizing every significant letter. Nor does it, conform to just capitalizing the first letter and kind of treat it as a made up word. I guess I just want to quickly verify what is written here, but most of the things I find, I think, on this topic are either not capitalizing it at all or just capitalizing the X. And I would agree that us only capitalizing the X and the O is a bit awkward and would be nice to change if we were convinced it doesn't break too many people or we're okay with breaking those people. What do other people think about this topic?
I think if we're going to break things, that it needs to go through and we should. That's my thought.
Okay. Let's see.
There can be a discussion of whether it's worth it or not.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm just looking for any other case that is capitalizing it like this. So far, I haven't found one.
It's funny that you read that as Russian. I actually read it as Japanese.
Yeah, the suffix looks kind of Japanese, but the prefix, or like, yeah, like Horosho is definitely
Horosho,
yeah, Russian. At least, yeah, like to my eye, right, and to the, but it's not where it comes from. It's not the etymology. Yeah. Like I basically agree. This is a low. A low importance thing that probably should be fixed, but it doesn't. But yeah, breaking is yeah. So can you write a comment, Sean, about having to go through the RFC process?
Yep.
Because like you said, we should go through that process for the breaking stuff at least. Coming back to 4324, possible violation of pthread create interface. We ended with a couple comments from Sean and I a while ago. Let's see. I believe that it is a spec violation, but I may be underinformed on the issue, so I could be wrong. And that is, I was convinced that some future version of Clang could add an optimization that leverages the restrict qualifier in a way that breaks our usage of pthread create. And I guess to me, that would be the main failure mode to worry about, is that Clang starts using the restrict qualifier to do more aggressive optimizations. And some of those optimizations may break us in subtle ways, potentially. Like, that's the only case where I think this matters.
Right. So I don't think that this matters because the spec in the end doesn't matter. What matters is what is being implemented for the compilers that we're doing, which don't always implement the spec, and that the spec can be unclear and that people often don't implement the spec.
Okay. Yeah. From a perspective of how will we know when and if it breaks? or like if, I guess that's the main fear in my mind, right? Is if Clang were to do this, right? And it was like a subtle little optimization thing and it only shows up in certain edge cases, like some other optimization things that we've looked at, right? If there's a bug in an optimization, it only occurs if you're in the right combination of edge cases that cause that bug to manifest. Is there a, like, it's probably be a race condition, right, in the runtime, and then it would be super hard to reproduce that. So I guess that's where my fear is how will we know when we need to fix this? If Clang ever does make this change, we probably wouldn't know about it.
How would we not know about it? So what you're saying is that your worry is that somebody would be impacted by this, but it would be an edge case and
that we wouldn't know what the problem was coming from. We wouldn't connect it back to this because it was such a hard to reproduce bug. That's my fear.
I can't argue against that. I mean, that could happen.
Yeah,
I find it unlikely.
Okay.
A large number of things would have to happen. Which is to say, like I said in the thing, I agree that it's a violation of the spec. It's not a violation of the spec that I'm worried about. If somebody wanted to go through fixing it and touching it and making sure that they didn't introduce any problems in the process and coming up with a reasonable set of tests for that, and we felt good about the tests, I would feel fine with merging a thing that's a fix. But we do have a thing which I believe works right now in the absence of like the compiler doing the thing that you're worried about. And I would be more worried about somebody making a change than I am about that thing happening in the future. But if somebody was to come up with a reasonable set of tests around it and explain how the tests, you know, assure that we don't have any problems, then I would feel good about it.
Yeah. Can you write a comment that says that? I'm totally fine with that, right? That you're more concerned about making a change to this area than you are about the slim chance of what I mentioned. And that, I think that's totally reasonable response. I agree. I'm signed on. I'll give it a thumbs up. All right. We have 4 minutes remaining. Anything anybody really wants to get off their chest? Okay. Well, thanks everyone for joining us. Thanks for those listening to the recording later, and we'll see you next week.